The song really reflects some of the things that God's put in my heart to share with you today. So thank you so much, Phil. We don't communicate about that. It's just how the Holy Spirit tends to lead us. We can organise the Holy Spirit out, and we can just be thrilled. So often, the words that we pick from the songs just fit right in with the preaching, and it's just simply amazing. So thank you for that, to draw us to the throne of God. Well, let's go on to these Beatitudes, if you will. I'll read them to you again so that we sort of see them in their context, if you like, from Matthew chapter 5, right from the beginning, okay, from verse 1. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up onto the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Amen. The screen, there we are. Well, here we are this morning. Those first four Beatitudes, they've shown us our real spiritual state and the serious need we have for God. We've seen that as we've looked at them at some depth. As we have truthfully had to acknowledge our need, therefore our hunger and our thirst for more of God's righteousness. We're in need of more and more of God's righteousness. Amen. Hopefully you're agreeing with that. And having received Jesus's righteousness through faith in him, and having been renewed by the Holy Spirit, and having received more of that righteousness, for it's the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. Note the word holy, God the Holy Spirit, he convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment. As we receive more of and appropriate more of God's righteousness, something happens here in this beatitude. Blessed are the merciful, for they will show mercy. Jesus has taken the disciples away from the crowd to talk to them very directly about their need of him. Very directly, he's talked to them in those first four beatitudes. He directs them, as my friend Andrew Kane, a great pastor who used to pastor in Woking, he's now in Salisbury, my friend Andrew Kane says, he now directs them outwards towards the crowd. They've been drawn up into heaven, but we're not just to stay there. They're now drawn outwards towards the crowd to bring to them, if you like, something of the atmosphere. We're to be bringers of the atmosphere of heaven, my friend Andrew describes it as, the atmosphere of heaven. Because having freely received God's grace, God's mercy, we're called to reflect God's grace and God's mercy to others. If mercy rests on us, if the mercy of God is part of the gift of the Holy Spirit, then we are to reflect that out and out to the world, to bring something of the atmosphere of heaven wherever we are. I wonder how you find that as a thought. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? In other words, we are to treat others. You could sum up probably the Sermon on the Mount. We're to treat others in the same way as God has treated us. We're to treat others as we'd like to be treated. We're to treat others the way that God has treated us. What with? It's quite clear from those first four beatitudes, with mercy and with grace. And you see, it's quite true that you simply can't become a Christian without God's mercy. And mercy is one of those wonderful constants of God's character. I don't know if you can think about the attributes of God, we call them, you know, they're all very, sounds very grand, but the attributes of God, kindness, mercy, yes, justice and peace. Can you think of any more? It's also, if you have a little think about some goodness, we sang about some of this.
Love.
Yes. In fact, 1 Corinthians is the sort of a personalized, 1 Corinthians 13 is a personalized reflection of those attributes of God that are for sharing. Some of them are just make him who he is. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's almighty. They're the attributes of God that are not for sharing with us. But his attributes of love and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, all those things are part of his nature, which he gives us. And no one becomes a Christian without the mercy of God. So we need to be those that reflect out to the crowd, to the world, wherever we are, the nature of God. So it brings me to a question, as I've asked now about what is meekness and what is righteousness. I'm going to have to ask the question as well now today, what is mercy? What is mercy? Well, remember last time I said I've been reading a little book by Colin Dye, who's the pastor, or was the pastor, I'm not sure if he still is, of Kensington Temple in London. He's very well known, a great Bible teacher. And one of the things that mercy isn't, he says, it's not an easygoing attitude which says that nothing matters, or you can just do what you like. It's not that. It's not an easygoing attitude that says nothing really matters. It's all okay, or it'll be okay in the end. You can just do whatever you want to. You see, the mercy that Jesus is describing here is the complete opposite of that attitude. It's the complete opposite. You've got to get your head around some of this. I want you to think about it. I'm going to stretch you a little bit this morning. Because what Jesus is talking about, this mercy is only authentic when it's set in a biblical context of hungering and thirsting after God's high standards, after God's will, after God's purposes. It's only authentic when it's in that biblical context of hungering to become more like Jesus, to want more of Jesus' life flowing in us and through us and out from us. So that is for the believer, not for the crowd. That's for the believer, not for the crowd. I'm not saying that people in the crowd cannot express mercy. But the mercy that Jesus is talking about is of a different level altogether. Sadly, no, brothers and sisters, sadly, the truth is, I just sweep across who else I'm talking to. Sadly, the truth is, few believers seem to stop at this fourth beatitude. They don't get it at all. They know that God is just and holy, and they hunger after that justice and that holiness of God. But, in so doing, and I see it so often in things that you read, the words that come out of people's mouths that will profess Christ as Lord, they are not merciful as God has been merciful to us. Their words and their actions to the crowd become judgmental and not merciful. And that is so sad. And you see, they understand God's righteousness. He's right. He's holy. And it says this, but they do not show in their lives his mercy. So in other words, so often many Christians will give a wrong picture or a partial picture, an incomplete picture of the nature of our God. It's a wrong picture if we leave out mercy. And sadly, over 30 plus years as a pastor, and I've seen it in across the nations, I've travelled quite extensively over that time, we can forget to reflect the mercy to the crowd that God has given to us. With that in mind, I'm going to ask Maren now to read to us from Ephesians 2, verses 3 and 4. And she's going to lead us on a little reflection for a minute on that. So I'm going to mute myself. And Mari, if you're okay, if you'd like to go, that would be really good.
Okay, thank you. So Ephesians chapter 2, and Pastor Brian's chosen two verses, and it's almost leaving it on a cliffhanger, but totally fits with his theme. So I'm going to read it. Ephesians 2, I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, So what is fantastic about this is that we recognise afresh that God was merciful to us because he saw what we were like, and yet his love was lavished upon us. From birth, we expressed our desires for ourselves. We lived by whatever cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, but we were living as rebellious children, and we would have been subject to God's wrath like everyone else. But verse 4 says, but God still loved us with that great love, and he showed that in his mercy and compassion on us. So we have two questions prepared, and I'm going to pause after I've read them, and we'll just have a moment of quiet as we reflect on God's mercy. So linked with what Pastor Brian's been saying, the first question is, how am I showing God's love and reflecting his mercy to others? How practically am I showing God's love and reflecting his mercy? And the other question is this, and it comes from John Stott, that great theologian of last century, who said, if mercy is showing compassion for people in need, how am I doing? If mercy is showing compassion for people in need, how practically am I doing? And let's just pause for a moment. And I think in the light of what the government's announcement was yesterday evening, and as we consider what this week, this month holds, and as Pastor Brian encourages us to look out to the crowd, to look out to our neighbours, how are we going to be showing God's love, reflecting his mercy, showing compassion for people in need? Let's have a few moments of silence as we reflect together. God's mercies are new each morning. He is faithful. Thank you, Lord, that you encourage us to show your mercy to others. Help us to have your eyes to see, so that we will be merciful, compassionate, and loving to those that we meet this day, this week. Continue to dwell in us and help us as we seek to be merciful. We pray in your mighty name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Marie. That was lovely. Let us just read again then those verses. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature, or our flesh, and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But God, because of his great love, an attribute for us. But God, because of his great love for us, who is rich in mercy, what's he done? I had it there. Made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And you see, friends, mercy is rather like grace. They're slightly different. So it's best to probably understand them a little bit. But I'll get a bit more technical with you. It's only for Bastima because she likes all this stuff, really. But mercy is rather like grace. It describes mercy. Let me start again. Mercy is rather like grace. It describes how God freely gives undeserving people without terms and conditions what they need. It gives compassion and kindness and love without term and without conditions. Is undeserved, and it annoys us immensely. If we've got an ounce of religiosity in us or pride, it annoys me to think that people that don't deserve it are getting treated that favourably, doesn't it, you? But that's how God is. That's his very nature. See, grace is basically linked with people's sins. So all the concept of what God does for grace is how he deals with their sins. But mercy is associated not with sin, but with suffering that comes as a consequence of sin. Mercy is the consequence of sin. And you see that all the time in the Old Testament. The people get it wrong, and he lets them, at the consequences of that, they end up in a terrible way or in hardship. But God will come and hears the cries of his people for mercy. For mercy. So mercy is describing word of how God deals with the sufferings that come with sin. Mercy is a practical word too. You see, it's to do with the suffering of a particular person, Colin Dyer suggests, or a group of people. And it has a desire and an intention for action to help relieve that suffering. So God's mercy is involved in relieving the suffering. So sometimes we just say, Lord, have mercy. We say, Lord, relieve that. Sometimes I don't know how to pray, but you know, I say, Lord, have mercy. That's a prayer that goes back the centuries. When you don't know how to pray, but we're praying for something, Lord, have mercy on this situation. Have mercy on the suffering of this deal. Non-believers, many ordinary people in the crowd will have pity for people in need. My friend of mine recently has been so moved by his neighbours, who clearly don't have Christian faith as we understand it. He's been very moved by their pity. he was had to be locked in because of health issues during the lockdown. And people who he would have normally had nothing to do with have shown pity and shown mercy and exercised goodness. So there's something of that still within the nature of humankind. But you see, the mercy that Jesus shows and wants us to show goes further than just pitying. Most people would pity in the world. We pity people that are hungry, people that are struggling. We have pity and want mercy and try to help in a practical way those in need, you know, perhaps without a job or in terrible suffering. So we pray for them. But you see, the mercy that Jesus is talking about, brothers and sisters, tries to relieve the suffering that normal, ordinary people think is okay. So he will have pity on those that are stuck, and we need to have mercy on those that are stuck in materialism. Money, power, success. We think, well, they're all okay. Greed, or the consequences of self-centeredness. I mean, I could have taken those words directly from what's going on in America at the moment, maybe, when we see so much. It's all just about power, materialism, you know, success, greed, a few lies here and there. And we have the greatest example in our God of mercy for us to explore. You see, he, in mercy, he in his love, he shows us incredible mercy that's beyond human understanding. It's way above in a different level. Anyway, it gives human beings this planet. Where you're sitting now, where we're sitting on planet Earth, it gives us the planet. What do? We ruin it. It gives us freedom to love him. What do? We reject him. He sends his son to show us love and to show us what it is to live in God's kingdom. What do? We kill him. So we show the opposite all the time. But God sees still our suffering. He sees our ambitions, our love of possessions, our lies, if you like, our arrogance, our posturing, and our trust in false human wisdom. And how does he respond? With thunderbolts? No, he responded in sending his son, who we crucified, who I helped crucify. I would have shouted in the crowd, and so would you. Don't sit there being self-righteous, because that's what we would have done in our unredeemed state. How does God respond to all that? Well, what he does is he responds with even more mercy. Even more mercy. And not with judgment. Judgment will come. God will wind up all things, and each human being on planet Earth will have to give an account. And I will have to give an account, not that will lead to heaven or hell, but for what I've done with this mercy, this goodness, this faithfulness, this gift of salvation that he's given us in Christ, this new life. What have I done with it? But there is not a judgment. Judgment will come. What occurs more often than not is the consequences of the lifestyle that people lead. If you walk around without a mask in America, don't worry that you're not going to get COVID, because you probably will, as the president may or may not have discovered. You know, that's the reality. You know, if we live differently to how God wants, there are consequences to that. There are consequences to our actions. This isn't even on my notes. This is really this. And it's so difficult sometimes. People become Christians but are still living with the consequences sometimes of their life actions. But God is full of mercy for them. is full of love towards us. So for you and I, brothers and sisters, we have no option. If we are good children, we are called. If we are filled, to be filled with an attitude of mercy, is that we know how indebted we are. How indebted we are to God's mercy. To give away mercy in its full extent, in the extent that God wants us to, I need to know that I've received it. Freely I've received, so freely I can and must give. That's the essence of what makes this mercy of God that we are to bestow. Blessed are the merciful. Why? Because we have received mercy and continue to receive mercy. So we pray, let the atmosphere of heaven, let the mercy of heaven flow on earth to your neighbours, to those people that you find irritating, to the people that we think you deserve that. You've got what you deserve. Actually, let's be as our Father intends us to be, flowing with mercy into me, through me, and out from me. Let no man judge. Leave the judging to God. Leave the judging to God. I'm not terribly good at it sometimes, judging. We have to make judgments, but actually they always need to be in the light of God's goodness, God's grace, and God's mercy. Let's treat others how we'd like to be treated, Jesus says. Let's treat them with dignity, with love, with respect. And in the days that lie ahead of us again, there are plenty of opportunities, as we've seen. So I think that's all I probably want to say this morning, except we just say more, Lord. Help us do it more. Help us be more merciful in this world. So let's stop and let's pray together. And then Bassima's going to lead us into prayers following this as well. Father, will you forgive us when we forget so often that we are what we are and we could only be what we could ever be because of your mercy and because of your grace, that you've stooped down and embraced us, that you love us immensely, that you don't hold our sins against us. You part them away. They are covered by the blood of your dear Son. Father, help us to reflect more and more of your character in the days that we live. Lord, we acknowledge that I acknowledge all that I am, all that I might be, all that I will ever be, is because of your goodness and your love and your mercy. Lord, there have been times when our words hurt people, when our actions hurt people, where we're not kind and compassionate and not full of love. Lord, help us to be more and more like your dear Son. Holy Spirit, come and fill us now afresh with mercy for those who we don't find easy, for those we don't think good of. Just take a moment to think who they may be. And we say, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And now Bassima's going to continue to lead us in prayer. Thank you, Bassima.
Thank you. What's on you? We are really grateful and thankful to you, Lord, that even now we are able to meet together and have a fellowship together. We are grateful and thankful that we are not object of wrath anymore, but objects of mercy. So we bring before you this morning the people that is on our hearts, and we entrusting them into your hands for the healing you will pour over them and for meeting their needs. We lift before you our brother Paul, Peter, Pat's cousin, some Christian friends. Cara, Lucia's sister. Helen, our daughter. Alan from All Saints. And those who are struggling without even saying a word. You know each one of them by name. Father, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We lift our earthly government to you, Lord. And we pray for your wisdom from above, that you will lead them and direct them in the way you want them to go. Father, it's a tough call over their lives. We know they need you, so we are praying on their behalf. Lord, anoint them just as you anointed Cyrus when he did not know you for the sake of Jacob. Anoint our earthly governments in their decisions and how to implement these decisions. Father, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And finally, Lord, we bring your church in this nation and worldwide. Forgive us when we have been busy reacting just like the world is, instead of acting, Lord. Father, I pray that your church, including us, this fellowship, we will be reflecting the mercy we have received. We will be reflecting the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ, even in our street, in our communities, in our work of place of work. Lord, help us to extend mercy as we have received mercy.
Gosh.
Father, we are really aware that the world is looking for a savior. They do not know. We can see it. Please help us. Help us to be your instrument, your harvester, workers, to bring the harvest in, even in this difficult situation that is worldwide. And we lift the churches in Greece and in Turkey before you, particularly in this difficult time of earthquake. And we lift your children in France as they are struggling to come to terms with another minister being attacked. And the church in America with this tension of racism. Father, it's embarrassing to see it happening even now in the society that we call modern and civilized. May your church be your voice on these matters, but through your mercy and your love and your grace. Lord, we thank you. We praise your name and we depend on you. Lord, hear our prayers in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.